I do a lot. I do a lot. Jericho asked, how do you do it? When she stood up to him and preached. She said, I was drained just from that. She said, you be up with me to 5 in the morning ministry, and then you preach, and then people want to stop you after church and talk to you, and then they want to go in the office and talk. How do you do it? I said, you forgot the calls all through the week. And my response to her is because it's not what I do, it's who I am. I've accepted and acknowledged that I'm called to be anointed like that and minister like that and feed people like that. And the way Jesus so aptly explained it, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He's refreshed in doing what the Father's called him to do. So just some personal decisions and emotional decisions and things that are just staring me down. Somebody other than me relating to this right now. Yeah, not that something's going wrong. Bills are paid. Everything's okay. It's just that step into the unknown or to the newness that you're believing for. Sister Winnie, bear witness. You know, it's something about that. That all of a sudden, if you're not careful, Sister Winnie, I'm saying because you nod and so profusely. If we're not careful, and tell me if I'm telling the truth. You're going to bear witness with me, and I'm going to ask you, do you feel yourself trying to be, like the enemy's trying to make you offended about every little thing? Little things just irk you that normally don't irk you. Are you sensing? See, it's all part of that attack. All of a sudden, everything's offended. I don't like the way you said it. I don't know. How did you look at me? It's like, wait a minute. When did I ever care about that? But today I do? No, it's a distraction. It's all designed to try to come against you and disorientate you. Watch this. Now, corny preaching would say, because the Lord got something big planned. The Lord always have something big planned for you. That ain't like this. That's a new thing. It's getting us lined up with it. That's never ceased. There's the God inside today that there's a big thing he wants to do with you. I'm going to say that one more time because you didn't catch it. God didn't decide yesterday there's a big thing he wants to do with you. Let me say that one more time. Before you were yet in your mother's womb, God knew all the big things he had planned for you. So none of this is new and exciting to him. That's you catching on to it and getting excited about it. But it's been yay and amen. You got that now. So it's then the comfortable place that you've grown to, and now you get ready to step once again into the unknown, and once again, your emotions and your senses become bombarded. Speaking to you? Your emotions and your senses become bombarded with the fact that I'm getting ready to move out of that which is comfortable to something that I don't know. It's not necessarily uncomfortable, it's just you just don't know it. As Mike, you say, the new normal. It's a new thing about to happen. In a little while, it'll be comfortable too. But right now, it challenges everything you believe you are. Talking to you this morning. So, in the midst of me sorting through this stuff, I came to this realization. And this is not even part of the message, but it is now. It wasn't, but it is now. It's moved in and taken up residence. I come to this realization that in the process of me sorting out and seeking wisdom on the steps I need to take, my senses become overloaded and my spirit is being shut out. My senses become overloaded and my spirit gets shut out. See, I've learned a long time ago, I think I heard a pastor say this back in the day. Confusion comes when the Holy Spirit goes this way and you go that way. So when you feel that, I've learned to immediately start to realize I'm deviating from the leading of the Spirit and leaning more to my senses and feelings. So I have to stop. And sometimes, Lord, this is what you want me to talk about today. I'm talking about it. Sometimes you have to stop And in the stop and sis, then there comes this whole new sense of bombardment. You can't stop. You're going to miss this date. You got deadline. And all of a sudden now there's a whole new stream of emotional attack. It's the attack of the senses. It's what it is. And Satan seeks to overload your senses with all kinds of sensations, good or bad, that makes you no longer listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that one more time. He seeks to overload your senses, good or bad. See, it's a lot of good stuff can start happening, and you can get so caught up and excited in what you think is supposed to be that you don't listen to the Holy Ghost anymore. Too many wink, wink blessings. God told me one time, he said, you know, when you're praying, Satan hearing you too. Well, and sometimes if your spirit is not as sensitive like so many church folk, Satan will send a counterfeit blessing. He'll send an answer to your prayer. But then all of a sudden you find all these strings attached that makes you grieve on the inside. But you push through. It must be God because this is what I prayed. And you don't have the wisdom to push back, like I said, silence your feelings and say, Holy Spirit, what say you? I can't let this go. I've been believing for this all my life. Okay, yeah, but is this the one that God promised or is it a fake facsimile? See, it could be a real Gucci or it could be the knockoff. Funny story, but it's true. I remember back in the day, this person was selling these Coach bags, and they looked really official, and they were selling for a really decent price. And so I got one for my missus, and it later on, it had a problem with it. So, well, you take it to the Coach store. That's what you do. They take care of their stuff. We walked in the Coach store, and the person looked at it, and he's like, this is not a Coach bag. We almost paid Coach money here now. Yeah, but, and he said, it's really good. They did a real good job. He had to look. He said, they did a good job. But this is not a Coach bag. See, sometimes Satan will do a real good job with the knockoff. But when it starts to fall apart, you realize it didn't come from the source. But I'm so happy that I had a Coach bag, I didn't think to investigate beyond the fact that it pleased my immediate senses. I'll let you sit with that a few seconds. Because the danger of stories like that is the praise report and the personal satisfaction can blot out the being led by the Spirit part. We're still supposed to be led by the Spirit, even if we're getting what we want. So I began to deal with God about all the stuff that's been coming at my senses, stuff that looked like answers, stuff that looked contrary to answers, things that I started to deal with because I felt like it was the answer, but then like I'm learning like right in, like three steps in, nah, I'm uncommitting to that. It looked like an answer. But I'm already starting to see things that's raising questions to my spirit. This wasn't part of the message today, but please hear me. You never prayed for something, and when the answer came, your spirit all of a sudden got in deep question. You were challenged by even the thing that was making you happy. There was a lingering sense on the inside that something's not right here, but you push past that because it's what you want. You have accomplishments. It's time to wake up then. It's time for us to mature to the next level. See, as your pastor, it's my job to make sure you have all the spiritual tools you need to win. Not to come up here and preach you a good message so y'all can go, ooh, pastor, ooh, that, whew, you submit, yeah, whatever. There's compliments, whatever. The day I say something you don't like, you'll forget all the good stuff I ever said to you, so whatever. You know what I'm saying? So whatever. I don't need the compliments. I really don't. I want to see the life change. I treat that really, really with specific care. And I'm not saying that because I want you to love me and appreciate me. No, I'm telling you this. I'm not giving your stuff to make you happy. I'm giving you stuff to make you victorious and then let the joy and the happiness come from that victory. In this season, some of you have stepped into the realm of saying, I've decided to receive everything God has for me. Let me see your hands if that's you. Okay? So now I got to tell you what to watch for. He roams around like or as a roaring lion. He didn't say he was one. He roams around pretending he's one. Seeking. Who don't know? Because the people are destroyed. Okay, so I'm trying to give you all the knowledge you can get. As you go forward in this season, in this time, keep this in mind. I am built and filled with everything that makes me wiser than the wicked one. You are. Scripture says you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So you don't lack instruction. Don't ever say again, Satan is wise, Satan is crafty. Never should those words come out of your mouth about the enemy. Because by saying that, by default, you're saying he's smarter than you. And he's only smarter than you in the realm that he reigns in. The realm of the physical emotions and senses. But if you're led by the Spirit, there's no way you should have to learn by falling in a pit. You can, and you will, but you don't have to. I'm going to start this message with something that I had the opportunity to share with a brother. I'll keep that between us, the name, and talking about a plight he went through and a struggle he went through and how he believed, you know, that he was strengthened because of it and he was better because of it and he had to go through it because it made him a better person. And I said, bro, I don't disagree with you at all that struggle made you a better person. But I need to challenge you here, and I need you to be quiet, and I need you to listen for a minute. He said, okay. And I never said these words out of my mouth before. It came straight from the Holy Ghost. And so God said, I need to share it with the house. Some of you I've already shared it with. So the danger with that mindset is this. You can get in a place where you stand and you have faith. And you believe, and you refuse to be moved, and so you stand. How many bear witness with me today? And the devil is swinging and hitting and throwing rocks and bricks and everything else, and you taking a couple of bruises and little knocks here and there, but you're standing. Somebody bear witness what I'm talking about. I said to him, but brother, here's what you didn't do. You didn't resist the devil so he could flee ever. You just stood and took the whipping. And you took it for years. What I did when I walked in the doors, I stood for you and ran the enemy off. I resisted him. I drew a mark in the ground. I laid down a foundation. You shall not pass. I know that spoke to a lot of people right now. A lot of places you stand in. But where did you resist? Where did you say, no, no more, no further? And if Satan will stand there and beat on you for 50 years in that one place if that's where you decided to stand until you tie it and can't take it no more, and eventually you're going to drop your guard. At some point, you need to not be the receiver. You need to be the aggressor. The kingdom suffered violence, but the violent took it. By how?
Force.
By force. Where's your force? The devil's busy. Okay, so how busy are you? The devil's crafty. How crafty are you? At some point, is this speaking to somebody? You got to push. You got to push back. Because he'll bully you forever. But like most bullies, he's a coward. And the moment that you put your hand up and say, okay, it's on now, he goes running off like the little coward that he is. And people say to me, you shouldn't say stuff like that. Satan's a coward. I'm going to prove it scripturally. For God has not given you the spirit of, but of, and... And, okay, so we just named four spirits.
Okay. Okay.
That's why you'll come here. God hasn't given you the spirit of, but of, and, and. So he just named four spirits. He just named four spirits. He just named four spirits. And one is distinction. One of these things is not like the other. Right? There's a clear distinction. He said there's the one that God, he named four, and said one God didn't give you. He named four. So which three belong together? Power, love, and a sound mind. And those three come from? And the fourth one is? And it is? Okay, so wait, if it's not from God, it's from who? Okay, so wait a minute. We're doing some math here. So if the fourth one or the first one that he names is not from God and is from the devil, that means he has it. So wait. No. Shh. Listen close. Let's look at it in the spiritual confines in which it spoke. The three that belong to us are?
Power.
Is God full of power?
Yes.
What's the next one?
Love.
Is God love?
Yes.
What's the other one?
Sound.
Wholeness, what that is in Hebrew. Is God full of that?
Yes.
The first one is?
Fear.
And is Satan full of that?
Yes.
See, that's where people miss it. In order to distribute it, he has to have the supply house. Y'all got to understand what I'm talking about right here. He has to be it to distribute it. That's why you're coming here.
Yes,
it is. Satan is very afraid. The spirit of fear comes from him. Now, listen to the scriptures again. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee in terror. Fear. He's the father of it. But he's convinced us through TV shows and elaborate hocus pocus and smoke and mirrors that he's powerful and strong and mighty, and we should be cringing in his sight. That's why I always use the Wizard of Oz. This little cowardly man hiding in the room behind the curtain, turning knobs and smoking, and everybody's running and doing whatever he says. Until the dog pulls the curtain back, and this little wuss of a man comes out, and she starts yelling at him, and he immediately, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I just came in. They thought I was a god, so I just went with it." That's the state of the body of Christ. Ours is powerful. Ours is great. Ours grants wishes. And after sending her on a bunch of worthless tasks, she found out he had nothing to deliver. The thing I love about that story, I know it's just a show, but he makes this comment that, see, I find God's message in stuff. He says to her, "The power was with you all along." Yo, right, because she took out the witch and everything without him. Yo, you had the ability to do all of that, and you proved it. He sent you out to take out his enemy for him. Now, let me say this to you. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. That emotional sense of yours can be your biggest enemy on the planet. Not the people around you and what they said and how they said it. It's that reaction to it. That paralyzing, crippling, shutting down, going in the corner and boiling up in a knot action that renders you powerless until you decide to no longer be powerless. Watch your heart. Don't get caught up in the senses of things. So the attack that came at me was this. It was a lot just to get to that. I started feeling drained. Got all this stuff to do. Nobody's really helping me. When I gotta need somebody to counsel, I gotta counsel everybody. I don't got anybody I could go to get counsel. You know. Come on, don't look at me funny. I know you're, you know, woe is me. Life's so hard. Things are just so tiring. Why I got to do everything, right? And no. See, and God said, okay, you realize you where the enemy's getting in, right? No. He said, you don't? No. He said, voice your complaint one more time. And I realized it was me. Me, 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 me. And he said, that's what the enemy immediately begins to do. He begins to say to you, has God really said? You're not different from the beginning of the Bible. He made Adam and Eve focus on them. He knows that the moment you eat it is you should be like gods. And he appealed to their desire. And then he was able to deceive them based on them needing to fulfill something that they believed was lacking in them. Listen close to what I'm about to say to you. He said to them, for he know that the moment that you eat of these, you shall be like God. So what he did, are you listening? You listening? You sure? He convinced them that they didn't have something that they already had because they were already like God. They're already made in his image and likeness. But he convinced them that they weren't, and he convinced them that if they did this, they would be. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because the way Satan will trick you in this season, if you're not careful, is he'll convince you that he can get you something, or God can, he can get something for you that God has promised you that you already have. He'll convince you that you don't have something that you do have. Take this medicine and you have peace of mind. But God has already given you power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah. where I need medicine to have it. See, then the room gets all quiet right then. But it's the truth. But it's the truth. When Doc realized I was not going to be a high blood pressure medicine recipient, he said, all right, 2 weeks. But I made a decree. I made a vow. I drew a line in the sand. I put my foot down and said, by week one, I'm going to be fine. But I'm going to follow the instructions. When I came back and I was totally healed and delivered, you got to understand something. More than one person down there said to me, oh, you got to take that stuff forever. And I said, no, you don't have to. You got to take that stuff forever to manage the lifestyle that you refuse to change. You got it now, right? Right? That's what it is. No, you don't want to change the lifestyle. You don't want to not eat what you don't want to change the way you look at things. You don't want to change the way you deal with and the people you deal with. You want to keep those negative people in your life. So what you need to do is you need to take subsidies or supplements to help you deal with the decisions that you made. So I made a decision to change the things that brought me misery. That's all it was. That brought me sickness. That's all I did. Let me see if God let me do my verses now. How you feeling today? Did you learn something so far? I'm going to just follow the Holy Spirit. Show of hands one at a time, or all at a time, whatever. Give me something you just got so far that was life-changing, or I hear you, Father. Life-changing that stuck with you, that I want to hear you say it so it stays stuck with you and we don't leave here without it. Give me a hand. Let me see somebody. Yes, Nellie. Don't get caught up in the excitement of your senses. Good. That speaks to you why.
You mentioned that, you know, when you haven't had something happen for you in a long time, and the enemy could bring a counterfeit, and because you're so excited that you want something, you don't want to wait, and the excitement could blind you, and you didn't even check if that was a counterfeit or not. And I know that my excitement, and you always say that, so I know that that's something that I need to watch, my excitement.
That's good. I've said that to Mike. Mike, bring it down. Bring it down. You two, bring it down. And you've been doing real good. I see you go like, then you go. Yeah, because that excitement is sneaky. Denise, you have to resist the enemy for him to flee. I'm praying for God to deliver me. No, you have to resist the enemy. Let me just say this to you. Listen, that is our job. Look at somebody and say, that's your job. That's your job. You have to resist them. I've been praying for Jesus to make them stop. That's not biblical. Imagine your 15-year-old saying, change me. I poop myself. What? You're a grown by you. You just get out my house with it. But you ain't going to stand around me like that. You understand what I'm saying? When do you think God looks at you when you make the devil stop? And you've been walking with him long enough to know your authority. Are you listening to me? You can laugh, but you know you've been guilty. Change me. God, like, I ain't changing you. You've been walking me. You know, see, newborn Christians get that benefit, don't they? You come to God, you pray about everything. Ooh, when I got saved, God answered all my prayers right away. Yeah. You didn't know nothing.
But you're old enough now to know some things. That's why they get answered slower. Not for no other reason but that. You're old enough to know some things. Next hand.
Self-encouragement.
You see, if you if you're going to do messages, I got to give you a mic.
You spoke about self-encouragement, and for me, that speaks to me because when you're going through stuff, you know your strength and you know your weaknesses, and so you know where you can encourage yourself, and you know that just speaks volumes to me.
Who was next? You, right?
The part when you talked about confusion comes when the Holy Spirit goes one way and you go the other. And I think, like, when I'm confused about what I should do next or overwhelmed by it is because I haven't either prayed about or asked God, like, what should I do? So when I'm clear-minded is when I know I'm moving with, like, the Lord.
And I'm gonna add something to that. Sometimes you just need to get still because he already told you. But in the clutter, you got sidetracked. Because a lot of times we know what to do. God already told us in the beginning, but then all the other things that excited our senses made us drift off. And sometimes God has to bring us, we have to get quiet enough to be brought back to, but I told you 5 years ago to do this. So remember that too. Who else had a hand up? Jeff, did you have a hand up? Okay. Spirit of fear. How you going to say you don't need the mic and you going to sit there and dialogue? Nah, come on. Now I don't need the mic. And then he starts a whole dissertation.
No, just that spirit of fear. Because if it's something that God brings you to, there should be no doubt, no worry, no confusion. That's just it.
Who else?
So the spirit of clutter. The spirit of clutter, thank you for clarifying what it's called, because I didn't know what it was called. I know that it's there. Now I know what to do with it.
I think for me, what Minister Jeff just said about the spirit of fear, but not exactly what he said, but what you said about Satan being full of that, that really gave me a revelation, because it's something that I just never thought about. It's where, you know, God gave us, did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And those last three come from the Lord, and that first one comes from Satan. So, that's for me.
Yes, Cheryl.
Thanks. Just piggybacking off of what you said, you know, the devil, he's a punk, and I always known that. And I'm going to go left a little bit. Like, punks, we don't fear punks. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, church people, they fear the devil and they talk about, oh, the devil will put you through this and that. But you got God behind your side, so the devil shouldn't even be in your vocab or even in your existence. So we don't fear punks. And a lot of times, it's not the devil, like, we're our own worst enemy sometimes when we don't line up. So just line up and, you know, God got you. It's no reason to worry about the devil. I don't. I really don't.
You friend, she got that street in you, though. See, let me tell you, no, us street N words, no, we got that kind of vibe. Yo, I ran up on with pistols and stuff and stood them down. So, you know, I might run up on no spooky thing and be letting you mess with me like that. You know, we had that saying in the street, right? Yo, if it's my time, then it's my time. If it ain't my time, you can't take me out. We believe that. And it kept us. It's crazy. But according to your faith being under you, that kept me alive times I should have been dead. But my thing was, ain't my time, you can't take me. I didn't realize I was quoting scripture. No man take my life, but when the time come, you know, I didn't even know that I was standing on biblical foundation. And there were times that I should have been taken out. Didn't happen. So this is speaking facts. Did I get everybody?
Okay. Just not only recall the victories that, you know, that took that we got through, but when you said, sometimes remember when you doubted and God still took you through. Sometimes I feel ridiculous, like, God, I doubted you. And you so there's no point in me doubting you. And it's ridiculous that I would doubt you at this point and I've seen you take me through. So remember the victories.
my comment also was on the spirit of clutter and just that overwhelming feeling when you know that your mind is just inundated with stuff and you feel like you want to sit down and be still. And then when you get still, it just gets worse. It's just like you can't be still. You just got so much more that you're supposed to do or that you got to do or maybe you need to do. And it just like turns it up a notch. And now I understand that. And I think that now I can be still and just be at peace and be still.
One thing's missing from that. I didn't hear to resist yet, though. See, that's where, right, if you're saying you get still and it gets louder, then the enemy already knows you're going to try to endure. You're not going to put your foot down. So I'm just going to just run all up on you. I got to share this story. God's been bringing it to my mind or throughout this conversation, and I've been saying, okay, I'll tell it, but it keeps coming up, and now you're saying this, it's real. When I first really gave my life to the Lord with an understanding of why I gave my life to the Lord and what it even really meant, I remember going to a church, and they took me, and they said, you accept Jesus? And I said, yeah, okay, sound good. And they threw me in the water and picked me up, and I was like, hey, hallelujah, and then I went back to life as life was, you know. You know, but, you know, I knew I had God in my heart, but I had no understanding of, you know, because, again, Jesus had already appeared to me, and I had already accepted him as my Savior. But I had no instruction and no direction on what that life was supposed to look like. Dal Rubin invited me to the Bible study at your daddy's house. And for the first time, I start to learn, oh, okay, so this is what Christianity is. Now, I learned some things it is, and I learned some things that it ain't there. But either way, I kept the good stuff. I decided he was doing the baptism the following week, which was an Easter Sunday. I decided now I want to get baptized with a real understanding of what baptism is. He broke it down from the Hebrew to the Greek and back then. Angela went and got baptized with me. We weren't even married yet, but we were like, we getting baptized together. We went to get baptized. Now, let me just tell you this. I decided that the Sunday before the Sunday to come. So that means the Sunday before Easter Sunday. Got it? I went to see my godfather, who was my daddy, who the man who raised me and prayed me into the kingdom, that Sunday night, and told him I was getting baptized that following Sunday. This man was my father. He was my everything. That man stood up, and some of you heard me tell the story, and he walked around me. He usually laid on the bed while we spoke, but this day he got up, and he paced and walked around and walked across the room, and he looked at me, and he started speaking things over me. I didn't understand at the time what he was doing. He started telling me how proud of me he was. He started telling me now I can take my rest, and I can, you know, relax with the Lord, and these kind of stuff that he would say so often that I didn't really understand that he was telling me that he had waited for this moment so he could leave and leave me. Now, if I had known that, oh, I would have bombarded heaven. I would have tried to shut every door out for him that was possibly there. Good Friday, he checked out. That very week, he laid down and said, this is it, and left me. You need to understand what I went through, because this is the person who I cling to. It was the only father I ever had. He was my natural father, but he was the man who instilled the values in me and prayed me into the kingdom. And he watched me go through drug dealer, through gunslinger, through everything. And that man stood with me because my original stepfather beat the living out of me. And this man stood with me. And I put him through hell because of what I was going through. But once I got saved, And once I turned my life around, I figured now me and him would have more in common than ever. This is going to be the best time of our lives. And he left. That's Friday night. I'm sitting there and I'm going through the I can't even call it grief yet, because usually that first day, you processing. But I knew the Sunday morning I was getting up to go get baptized. And I was laying in the bed and I was sleeping. And I heard a and I heard it again, and I opened my eyes, and standing at the foot of my bed was Satan and six demons. Clear as day, I could see him. And I had seen him before, so I knew what he looked like. And he was standing there at the foot of the bed. Now, just so you'll understand the deception, no, he didn't look like Lucifer on the TV show. He looked more like him than anything else. He was in red with horns and all that. That's the look of a demon, not the look of Satan. Satan is angelic. He's beautiful. The Bible says that. He was the leader of praise and worship in heaven. That's why praise and worship is deep, right? Because that was the role he played. That's why Satan, when they come to church, the first thing he do is jump right in the choir pit, because he know that's the right way to come through the church. That's where you usually find, you go to church, you got big choirs, a lot of more messes going on up there than anywhere else. You know I'm telling the truth. He knows that's his home. He know where to land. See, I point out stuff that people are like, I didn't think about it. But that's what he did. He led praise and worship. Anyhow, he came and he stood at the foot of the bed with six demons beside him. And when I opened my eyes and looked up and saw him, he began to taunt me. Your father's dead. I mean, he was so upset that this phase of my journey, I was giving my life to the Lord, just lost my dad, but I'm doing this thing. My resolve was unmovable. But again, I'm a ghetto N word. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. And he started taunting me at the foot of the bed, and the demons, like children. See, I need you to get this picture, because this is real. They were making faces and doing stuff like kids would do. Really, you know, and it was literally taunting like children. And I said to Satan, out my mouth loud, "Fine. You can say what you want, but you better never put your hands on me again." And he said to me, "I'll touch you if I want to." And then he did this thing that forever changed my view of Satan. Stick your hand out. Let's say that's your toes at the foot of the bed. He said, "I'll touch you if I want to." And he went like this. And I could see his hand shaking as he was going to try to put his finger on my toe. What a punk move. I touch you whenever I want. And then you're going to go, "See, I touched you like a kid." And his finger got this close to my toe. Excuse me. This close to my toe. And I had never spoken tongues before in my life. I didn't even have that gift yet. But it came out of me like, blah, 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 and he just, and they went poof, and they disappeared so fast. The fear on his face, I saw it. It was like, and all of them just were like, poof, and they were gone just as fast as they came. They was out of there. And I was like, "You punk." See, I wasn't that Christian yet. So I said some things. And I said, "You punk a mother." That's what I said. Wow, so that's how you do it. So that's how you do it. So from that point, did I help somebody? From that point, the spirit of fear is his. He's the birth of it. He's the mother of it. He's the father of it. The spirit of fear is his child. He's filled with it.
he got out of my face that day. So from that moment, he started plotting other ways to get me, and the way he began to plot was through religion and religious beliefs. You got to go through it. You got to take it. You got to live with it. You know, God knows what he's doing. And so then I went through the years of being abused because I believed that a Christian was supposed to stand and let Satan abuse them as long as they could until God was good and ready to come and deliver them. And I didn't understand the authority that I showed that night without even knowing what I did. So I had to come back to that place in my walk, in my life. I went through another confusion with it for a season where I thought authority was me being hard and saying, I rebuke you, but not really checking the state of my heart about how I felt about it. Did you catch that? Satan knows if you shouting at the top of your lung, I rebuke you, and you don't really believe it. He knows that you when you said it, you didn't mean it. He knows you're just quoting Bibleisms, but you don't really lay claim to anything you're saying when you say, I claim this and I resist that. He knows it's not genuine. Did you have your hand up? You still want to share your thing? Nailed it in? Resist them. I'm telling you, he is not up for the fight if you're in the right place in the spirit and you know who you are. And it's not a fight. It's never a fight. Resist. Resist ain't fight. Say, no, I don't receive you. And I'm not going to say it again. You see, that's the difference. I rebuke you. Listen. I may upset a couple of parents here, but I watch some punk behind parents always yelling at the kids, and the kids ain't listening to them at all. I said, stop. I made me come over there. And the kids still ain't listening to you. And it'd be their kid, not even my kid, and I say, put that down. The kid put it down, walk right away. But they listen to you because it's the tone of your voice. You punk behind parent. It ain't the tone of my voice. It's the, they sense the truth. I said, you yell at them all the time. They don't know when you're talking or whatever. When you calm, most of the time, when they hear that pitch in the voice go up, they go, okay, this is different. It just got real. Let me put that down and just go on over here. But if you yell and fuss about everything when you're trying to get serious, who knows? So when you're always yelling at the devil like, are you always yelling? You don't mean it. You don't believe it. You hoping that I get scared while you try to play bully when that's my profession. Some of you caught that. You can't bully the devil. That's his job. That's what he does. You can't trick him into believing you got the authority. He knows when you don't. That's what he does. He suckers you. You can sucker him. You don't beat the devil by suckering him. You don't beat the devil by outsmarting him. You beat the devil by walking in authority over him. So Esther asked me a question yesterday. I saw the message. I'll start the message next week. So the message I was going to do today. So Esther and I had lunch yesterday, and she asked me a question about how, you know, I was telling her about the things that I was walking through, what I felt in the past, the fears and the things I was. She said, I think if I remember the statement, she said, I just remember my response. Yeah, you said, and now how do you feel now, right? You said, how do you feel now? And I said, that's how I felt. So that would, you know, kind of indicate that I don't feel that anymore. She said, yeah, but I want to hear you say where you stand now, like where you've changed and or how I feel. And I said, it's not so much about what I feel anymore. It's about a place that I've come to of who I am that is no longer about how I feel about the situation. It's not something I even wrestle with like that anymore. In other words, if you still have to do the disclaimer, this is what I'm about to say. Share this with you guys last night. If I have to say, if the self Satan said, because I was talking about Satan always telling me I'm a loser and reminding me of how many times I've lost in the past. You don't, none of y'all don't know that, though, right? you know, when you believe in God to do the thing, you know, and he start telling you how much money it costs and what if it don't work, and you just spent all this money and ain't nothing, and you did it this and it didn't happen, and you tried that and it did, and what about all the other things you did? He start, see, and for those of you who haven't tried to step out like me, he got a lot of stuff to remind me of. Well, your book didn't happen, and what happened to your tech company? And that didn't work. And he strategically doesn't mention the good stuff, but he always mentions the stuff that don't work. Now, God said to me, if you have to say, and people try to encourage me that way, yeah, but look at the things you did succeed at. You succeeded in real estate, and you succeeded at this. And I'm like, but if you have to do that, that means you're not really free. If you have to offer disclaimers, that means you're not really delivered. I shouldn't have to say, yeah, but I want here, and I want here, and I want there, so then and then there. I shouldn't have to say that. I said to her this, I said, the thoughts still come. But to me, it's like, okay, and so, but I'm still doing it. And so you missed that. I'm going to say it again. Okay, but I'm still doing it, though. You know, but well, you're a failure. Okay. I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not going to argue back with the devil. I'm not going to try to match records with him. I don't feel the need to. I'm in a different place right now. I don't feel the need to defend the word of God spoken over my life to the enemy. I don't feel the need. Oh, you didn't catch it. I don't feel the need to do that. I said, that'd be like if Satan came to me and said, you know you're really a girl. It'd be like, see, you'll giggle. Right, that's the first reaction. Like, I'm not going to sit there. I know I'm not. I can ask my wife. I got 3 kids. And I'm like, who's going to, really? And I'm going to start breaking it down. I could take you to see some of the girls I used to see in the past. No, you'd be like, okay, you're just stupid. And we're not going to have this conversation. This is just stupid, right? That's the way you need to be about who you are in Christ and who you are and what God says you are. Satan says you're a failure. You go, you stupid. We're not even going to have this conversation. I know who God said I am, and I'm doing what God said I'm going to do. And he said to me, so well, what if it don't work? I said, well, then, oh, well, we'll find out. In the meantime, I'm still doing it. My point is this. I could take your word for it and not do it, and then I am a failure by default. At least I'm going to do it, and there we go. So we'll find out. And there's no conversation. And let me just tell you this. What I just did without raising my voice and screaming and busting a vein in my forehead is I resisted the devil. You're a loser, but I'm still going to do it. God called me to do it. I'm still doing it. Well, what if it doesn't succeed? Well, what if it does? That's, come on, saints. Yeah, just show. What if it don't? But what if it does? And there you have it. What if you try it and it don't work? I'll try something else. And I'll keep trying until it works. You should get a little more excited than that. I just keep going. Let me end it with this verse. Cast your bread upon the water, and it shall return after many days. Sow a portion of 7, yea, in unto 8, because you don't know what will do good, either this, that, or all alike. If the tree falls in the forest, where it falls is where it'll be. And when I read that, I was homeless. And I remember reading that scripture, and he said, diversify. And some may work, and some may not, or maybe all will work. But put it out there. You ain't got no bread on the water, nothing gonna work. So just put, he said, just cast it out there. This may work, that may work, they all may work. And then he said, where the tree falls is where it lands. So he basically said, hey, time and chance happens to all of us. Do it again. But I tried. Do it again. Stop, pray, refocus, make sure you did it right. Do it again. But it didn't happen the way I thought it should. Maybe it wasn't supposed to. It's supposed to happen the way he thought it should. Do it again. Now I'm not going to drop it again. God bless. Stand with me. stand with me. So this poor Mike, like, please stop dropping. Praise the Lord. Did you learn something? I like when God takes over, man. So cool. He takes over all the time, but this is time, like, he's like, no, we're not using none of your notes. We're just going to do this. And I love that. But here's what I know. This was a word for this season to this house. I know right where we are right now. Everybody in this room got something from that, right? Can I see hands? See, this time for this house and for me is very much this, and I want you to listen to me. I know this year, just think about your lives, this year of accomplishment. Just think about this. How many of you have seen a drastic shift since that word for this year has gone forward? Drastic shift. Now, let me just say this to you. It's just the beginning of March. Are you ready for this? It's just beginning of March. So I want to say this to you while you're still recording. This is important. Don't be distracted by the stuff the enemy tries to throw at your senses and your situations right now. Pay attention and stay focused and fixed on what God has said. It is very important to you that you quiet your spirit. That you keep focused. People come around bringing me things that look like good things, and then all of a sudden my heart is like, I don't know. And God's like, well, let me pray about that. And God's like, just the fact that you feeling that, do you really need to pray? Just say no. Listen to me. And if it is a yes, you are never going to hear the yes in that state. You missed me. See, even if it brings clutter, and why should I not? Sometimes you got to shut up and say no, just to yourself. No, I'm just going to, just to eliminate me saying should I, shouldn't I, I'm going to make a decision. My decision is no or yes, and then God, I'll be clear now to hear if there's something different you're telling me. Hence the speaking engagement. Nope. I don't know. Should I? Yeah, no. God said, make a decision. I said, okay, God, my decision is no. He said, okay, now let me show you why. Then we had our conversation. Okay, and I was able to hear. And like I said, when she first started talking to me, she was trying to convince me from the point of view of sensible logic. And I was like, that sounds real good, but that ain't tipping the boat. That I hear that, but sounds good. But then, like I said, all of a sudden the spirit clicked on Rachel. I said, okay, she talking from the Holy Spirit now. Now, I know the difference. When you come to me and try to give me something, trust me. I know when you're just trying to say something because you're trying to impress me that you're spiritual. And I know when you give me something from the throne. Please understand, I'm very clear. So she started talking all of a sudden. She's saying, talking about the people and the life that I've touched and, you know, the people that need a word and what God has given me that's specific for such a time as this. And all of a sudden, the light of illumination came on, and all the confusion went bye-bye. Now, I turned the no to a yes, but for the right reason. See, God don't have a problem with you saying yes and no. Let me just give you this one scripture before we go. I know we're supposed to be done, but just take this with you. There were two sons. The father said, I want you to go work in the field. The first son said, I will not work in the field. And he left. But later he changed his mind. And he came back. Second son, oh yeah, dad, whatever you want. And never showed up. He said, which one is justified before the father? The one that was defiant but changed his position means more than the one who says yes just to say yes to stuff, but their heart's not there. God would rather you say, I don't want to do that. He ain't going to strike like, oh, you disobeyed God. Die! Boils and tumors. No, that's not going to happen. But that's the picture we have. It's a religious picture that has been painted to us for a long time. You don't disobey God. Well, God would rather me give him an honest no. He said I'd rather you be hard or cold. I don't like indecisive people. You be lukewarm, I'll vomit you out. But a total yes or a total no. He said, I'd rather have that. Christians. God would rather you tell him, no, I ain't down with that. And I've told God, I said, I don't want to do that. And then he'll talk to me. And he'll talk to you. And he'll say, well, and I appreciate your honesty, baby. But here's why I need you to do it. And it's so nice when you have God say, but would you do it for me? What a moment. But would you do it for me? Daddy, you know I would do it for you. Know. But you asked me, do I want to? And I gave you my honest opinion. No, I don't want to do it. Come on, isn't that what you'd rather have when you deal with people? That's so hard to find. But wouldn't you rather just have that? Nah, I absolutely do not want to do it. Would you do it for me? You know I'd do it for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you for the character of your word. We thank you for the weight of your word. That's the word that comes to my heart. The weight of your word. The power and the validity that springs forth from that word when it's anchored in truth and led by your spirit. We commit today to be led by your spirit. We commit today to hear your spirit and surrender to your spirit. We commit to be forthright, honest, and clear in our decisions and all the things that we do, because we will know your truth, and your truth will continue to make us free. Your word says your sheep know your voice. We're your sheep. We know your voice. We confess that by faith. We know your voice, and the voice of the stranger, be it the enemy or our flesh or whatever, we do not follow. We know your voice. We've allowed things to agitate us and frustrate us and shame us and embarrass us and push us all out of the flow of your spirit. But we decide today that we are clear. We hear well and we surrender. We will not let things frustrate and irritate us. We will hear. We will stop. We will sit down. We will quiet our flesh and hear your voice. We ask for that. And your word says you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we receive it and we thank you for it. And we confess today, all together, right now. Come on, right now. I accept that I am totally free from the pullings of the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.